Tonight, if you have your Bible, open it to Luke chapter 15. And I want us to look at the first seven verses of Luke tonight. I believe that one of the most challenging propositions or one of the most challenging things that we can ever attempt to do is to be a follower of Jesus. I mean, he's perfect. And we can talk about different pursuits in life, and I've heard, you know, parents encourage their kids into certain walks of life, and that's fine. You don't have to, everybody doesn't have to do the same thing. We're a body and we function differently and everything is needed. But to say that it's not challenging to be a disciple of Jesus, you've missed it. There's nothing more challenging and exciting for that matter than to try to be like Jesus. One of the most sublime statements and just challenging statements, awesome statements in the Bible comes from Mark chapter 7, verse 37. And it was a simple commentary on Jesus when they saw what he had done, making people who were deaf to hear and the mute to speak. They said, you know what? Jesus, and to put it in the King James and the way we sing the song, Jesus doeth all things well. Jesus does all things well. I don't. And so you can see the challenge involved. There was never a time in Jesus' life that he didn't do something well. And so for me, to try to be a disciple of Jesus and to live like him and to be like him, the standard is set high. And it is a goal that we are striving for. Now, I do want to say one thing before I get any further. Bob Maddox is here tonight as well. I don't know if you saw Bob coming in. Probably half of you did. It's important enough. I saw him back there. You can turn around there and see him in the hallway there. I wanted to mention that because he went through a lot of effort to get here tonight and to be with his church family. And so if you get a chance to speak to him and haven't done so already, you need to do that. We appreciate Bob and Laverne very much. Luke chapter 15. Jesus doeth all things well. With that in mind, how can I possibly be like Jesus? Well, I'll tell you what some people have done. Some people have tried to make Jesus like them, and that's a whole lot easier. If I can, instead of redefining who I am and trying to convert myself to look like and conform myself to the image of Jesus, if I can maybe make Jesus look like me, that's a whole lot easier. But that's not the way it works. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19 says that God is not a man. So he's not prone to those things that men are prone to. He doesn't lie. He doesn't sin. And so I can't make him in my likeness in that respect because he's perfect. And to what shall we liken God? If we were going to make something and say, this is like God, what would you do? Isaiah reminds us in Isaiah 40 that there's really nothing. You can't liken anything really to God. He's supreme. Whatever you come up with is going to fall so far short. So I think that reminds me and stands as a reminder to me that as hard as I try, I'm never going to be perfectly like him. I'm always going to struggle and fall short, but I don't want to stop trying. And I don't want to fashion Jesus into something that's easy for my own ease and comfort. I want Jesus to stay Jesus, and I want myself to be challenged. And I think there are some challenging things that I want you to think about this week in terms of trying to conform our lives to Jesus that is found in Luke chapter 15. And so that's what I want us to do tonight. Look at four things that we learn about Jesus that I think challenge us as we try to do all things well like him. And the first thing is, if you look at Luke chapter 15, the real Jesus may not be what we think he is or should be even. Look at his association Luke 15, verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. Tax collectors and sinners. That's the crowd of people that surrounded Jesus. If I were to say, tell me something about Jesus, would you say, oh yes, yes, Jesus, he's the man that was always with sinners. That doesn't fit the model that a lot of people have. They almost see Jesus as this pristine, you know, in the paintings of, the Middle Ages, they often have this little halo above the head of Jesus to let you know he was divine. And Jesus didn't walk around with a halo. Jesus rubbed shoulders with sinners. That may not fit your model of Jesus. And as we're trying to liken ourselves after Jesus, that needs to be the model of your life. I'll tell you, it's easy being around y'all. It's easy being around people that believe like I believe and have the same morals that I have and have the same basically ethical system that I have. And those people are easy to be around. Jesus didn't limit his association to those who were like him. He rubbed shoulders with sinners, tax collectors and sinners. And if our view of Jesus misses that and we're not doing that, we've got a challenge. We haven't been doing all things well. Jesus mixed with sinners, and so should we. And it's not just the fact that, well, you know, like sometimes, have you ever had a puppy follow you home? You know, you didn't necessarily want it, or a stray cat come to your house. It's not that you want it, but they just followed you. That's not the story of Jesus and sinners. They didn't just follow him to his disgust. And you just, shoo, leave me alone. That wasn't it. Jesus called them to him. Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus was in the tree looking at Jesus, and Jesus stopped and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to go to your house today. So, and Zacchaeus was one of those publicans, one of those sinners that we read about. How can a person be holy and associate with sinners? Because that's what Jesus was. And that just kind of goes like that's not very intuitive. I don't get that. I thought 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, you know, that's what we preach to our kids. Evil company corrupts good morals. Evil companionship corrupts good morals. And that's the verse that we memorize. Seldom do we have memorized Luke 15 verse 1. The sinners and the publicans came to Jesus. How do we harmonize those two? Well, I think the answer is in the purpose of why they were together. Jesus didn't try to avoid sinners. And when he did get with them, there was a purpose behind it. And, you know, we can tell the difference. If your association with sinners is intended to have an impact, to reach them, to point them to Jesus, you know good and well that's why you're with them. And if it's a situation where you're being drawn away and you're struggling and you're liking the wrong things, you know good and well that too. It may not be something that I can put my finger on, but I can tell you this, you know the difference. And the kind of association that Jesus had with these sinners was not to engage in and participate with them and fellowship with them in these sinful activities. His involvement with them was to bring them to God. That was his purpose. And that needs to be our purpose. We cannot separate ourselves from sinners. Some people, again, that's not what I've had in mind. I've been trying to do the opposite. I've been trying to stay away from them, and you're telling me to be with them. Well, that's what Jesus did for the purpose of reaching them. If our holiness doesn't allow us, if our attempt at being holy, if that doesn't allow us to rub shoulders with unholy people, we're missing it. In Isaiah chapter 65, The Bible talks about how that there were times when the people at that time were saying, you know what, stay away from me. I'm holy, and you're not. Don't defile me. We don't want to have that kind of an attitude, whether it's in our workplace, whether it's at school. Listen, the world needs us. We may be that flicker of light for people who are groping in darkness, trying to find their way to God, and they haven't found it yet. And they're just like a person who is blindfolded and trying to feel their way around. You can be, as Paul says in the Philippian letter, you can be that light that points them the way. What good are we if we're a light and put it in the words of a song that we all know, if we hide it under a bushel? That does no one any good. So the first challenge is to consider the association of Jesus. That's challenging to me. I've got to get out and rub shoulders more with people who are not like me. I've got to be with people who are living lives that I find offensive and I would never choose for myself, because those are the people that need to be reached. Those are the people that Jesus reached. So consider his association. Second thing, consider what happened because of his association. Look at what it says in verse 2. Then, and the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Complaining. Grumbling. The religious people saw Jesus eating with sinners, associating with sinners, and they grumbled. They didn't like it. They talked about him. That might happen to us if we begin acting like Jesus. You may have some people saying, I don't know if that's appropriate. I don't know if they ought to be seen with that person. I don't know if that's the kind of influence that, you know, he's hurting his influence. I don't know if that's a wise thing to do. And we can go through all those things. And sometimes those things are said about us. And sometimes we're the ones that say them about other people. Don't be critical of Jesus. Would we have been critical of Jesus as we see these crowds of sinful people coming to him and him eating with them and having meals with them and having social time with them? Would we have been one of those people standing in the outskirts going, that's wrong. He shouldn't be doing that. If he's a holy man, he shouldn't be. He must have some tendency toward those things because he sure is with them a lot. You see, Jesus is challenging. He's challenging concerning my associations that I have, and he's challenging to do the right thing and not complain about the right thing and to be against the wrong things. The religious people of Jesus' day didn't like the fact that Jesus associated with sinners, but here's the thing I find interesting. He didn't care. You want to get upset with Jesus because he's around sinners trying to reach people? Okay, go ahead. You know, one of the greatest complaints about Jesus was he was a friend of sinners. That's what they were saying. That was the word on the street. They were going around trying to blaspheme him and slander him, saying, hey, that guy, he's a friend of sinners. Okay, I'll wear that. Go ahead and call me that. That I want to be a friend of sinners. That's the way that Jesus was. Don't let even your brethren cause you to pull back from people who need to see Jesus. If somebody else isn't comfortable with reaching certain people and the people that need to be reached out to, and you are, and so reach out to them. And you know what? Somebody may talk about you. So what? That's what Jesus would do. That's who he did. He reached out to people that the world had written off. That's challenging. To have the courage to reach out to people that others wouldn't. It puts my reputation on the line. I don't want people to talk badly about me. I may cave to the pressure. Jesus says, be that man. Don't worry about what other people say and do. You do the right thing. And Jesus did. Here's a third thing that challenges me. And this reminds me of why he did what he did. He did it to seek them. Look at what it says in verse three. When he realizes, because of my association with these sinful people, I'm getting some backlash here from people who are supposed to be religious. Because of that, I need to remind these people something. So he spake a parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that's lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. That's why Jesus was doing what he was doing. He was trying to reach the lost. And that's what we need to do. Don't lose sight of that. He was seeking them. And quite frankly, there aren't a whole lot of people right here tonight that needs sought. There may be some. But most of us are in the pasture. Most of those that are lost aren't here tonight. And we need to, this is great. I love this. Assemblies are great. The edification, the mutual fellowship and friendship that goes on here. I love going to worship. But that's not where the lost sheep are, for the most part. They're out of these doors. And that's what needs to be our mission through the week. Jesus was about those lost. He was trying to bring them to Jesus, trying to bring them to himself and reconcile them to their Father. And I find it interesting, too. Consider this thought. What kind of man must Jesus have been to have been the holy man that he was, never sinning, and yet sinners wanted to be with him? Most holy men today, the world wants to run from. Why? Well, maybe it's because we cop an attitude. Maybe it's because we hold the truth with arrogance. Maybe it's because sometimes we don't show compassion. And we don't show that we understand where people are coming from. And so, I don't need any of that. And so people leave. Jesus, the most holy man that ever stepped foot on this earth, to him, the sinners would come. That's incredible. That's challenging. Can we be holy people, so holy and so balanced with our holiness that sinful people feel comfortable being around us? They were with Jesus. And that's, again, one of those challenges that we have. And then here's the fourth and final point that I want you to see. And it's Luke chapter 15 and verse 7. There's rejoicing that took place. Maybe we need to do some of that too. Can a person respond to the gospel? Does it get old to us? When we hear that somebody was baptized into Christ, is it just like a tidbit, and we go on? Or is it like, wow, wonderful? When somebody comes back who has strayed and wandered and they come back, is it like, oh, okay, good. That's fine. Or is it we're thrilled with them and their family because of the decision that we made? Dare I go here? Could the response of someone ever be, man, we're going to get to the restaurant late now. How long is this baptism going to take? Everybody else is going to beat us to such and such place. Surely not. And if it is, we've got work to do, don't we? Jesus challenges us Jesus says, man, there is rejoicing in heaven when a person, a sinner, comes back. These religious folks in the days of Jesus, they missed what real holiness was about. In their attempt to be holy, they had failed to separate the sinner from the sin. We need to make that distinction. And so tonight I want us just to be reminded of the fact that Jesus is Jesus, and we can't change him. And who he really was isn't always, it doesn't always fit our norms and fit what we would design him to be. And when those times come, listen, the only option we have and to continue to be a disciple is to shape up and work at conforming ourselves into his image. Jesus was a friend of sinners. They used that as a way to discredit him. But listen, Jesus owned it. Yeah, I am. So come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said, yes, I'm a friend of sinners. Come to me. What those Pharisees of the first century needed to realize is that they too needed to be friends of sinners, and they weren't. And the church today needs to remember to be a friend to sinners, because that's who Jesus was, and we're trying to be like him. I hope that you'll be challenged by some of these images, portraits of Jesus from Luke chapter 15 as we go this week. Let's try to put these into practice. Let's not care about what other people think. Let's reach out to sinners. Let's let them be our associates, not for the purpose of being drawn away and engaging in sinful things with them, but to show them more perfectly who Jesus was. Let them see the light. If you're here tonight and you're not yet a child of God, but you want to be, you know Jesus said to believe and be baptized. If that's what you need to do tonight, we'll assist you in that. And if you're already a child of God, but maybe you haven't been like Jesus, and maybe there are areas that you say, you know, I need to improve on that. I want to do better. I want the church to pray for me to do better. If that's the case, we'll pray with you if you'll come as we stand together and sing.